That's Luke chapter 12, verse 13. The parable of the rich fool. Somebody in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night of your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God."
You might want to keep that passage open as we look at it together. But before I start, let us pray. Father God, I just pray that you're with us this morning as we look at this familiar parable and story that Jesus told. Help us to understand what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. Have you seen the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade film? How many of you have seen it? Quite a few of you. So Indy, played by Harrison Ford, is with his dad, Sean Connery, searching for the Holy Grail that has the power to give eternal life to anyone who drinks from it. Towards the end of the film, Indy's dad, apparently fatally wounded, they finally come across the final, last Knight Templar guarding the Holy Grail. But it's not just a single cup. Behind the knight is an array of goblets and cups, some very ornate and luxurious, some very simple and plain. And Indy has to choose the right one. Just then, in a key moment in the film, the baddie arrives and, seeing all the goblets, demands to know which one is the Holy Grail. And the knight replies, "You must choose, but choose wisely. For just as the true grail will bring you life, the false grail will take it from you." The baddie chooses the most beautiful gold ornate goblet, lots of decoration, jewels, emeralds, diamonds all over it. He dips it into the pool of water before triumphantly drinking it down, hoping for eternal life. And then immediately realizes he's made a mistake. He ages rapidly, turning into a living skeleton before exploding into a cloud of dust. And the knight simply says, "He chose poorly." And then it's Indy's turn. The pressure's building, the drama. He chose a simple, plain goblet, the cup of a carpenter, he said. And of course, when he drank from it, nothing happened. And the knight says, "You chose wisely." He then went on to save Sean Connery's life, giving him the water and pouring it on the wound, and happy ending, good old Hollywood. So a Hollywood story, but one that highlights the heart of what we're looking at today. The greed for wanting things that give us a better life, in this case, eternal life, the baddie thought. But he made a poor choice. He thought that only the best, most ornate cup would give him what he wanted. But how wrong was he? It led to his immediate death. This passage in Luke, the parable of the rich fool, is all about how we should choose to live. We shouldn't be greedy for material things, the most beautiful, elegant, ornate things. We have to choose wisely in our everyday lives if we are not to end up condemned to death. Our passage starts with someone shouting out to Jesus from the crowd, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, it says that the firstborn should be given double the inheritance of a younger son. And this was a rule that still applied in Jesus' day. And as you can imagine, it often led to disputes between siblings, the younger ones feeling it was unfair that the oldest would get double their inheritance. These disputes were often settled by local rabbis. And so this man calls out to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, Jesus had just been speaking about the power of God and how he knows our most inner thoughts and what happens if we disown him. Clearly, this man has not listened to a word of what Jesus has been saying, because his request is selfish and materialistic. He is greedy for what he thinks is owed to him. Now, when I first read this passage, I found Jesus' response a little bit surprising. He says, "Man, who appointed me to be judge or arbiter between you?" Jesus is Lord over everything, so why wouldn't he respond in a clearer way to the man? Well, although Jesus is Lord of the entire universe, he was careful not to become involved in matters that didn't directly relate to his earthly works and ministry. He expected people to work out such things on their own from listening to him and his disciples' teachings. We have to want to follow Jesus and learn what it means to follow him, and then change our lives accordingly. Jesus wasn't about to get dragged into a dispute between two siblings. Rather, he gives the man a word of caution and some guidance. He says in verse 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Jesus is warning the man not to be greedy. There is far more to life than the things we own and possess. To further help the man and the rest of the listening crowd, Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the rich fool, a story that is as relevant to us today to those followers over 2,000 years ago. Perhaps even more so when you think about how we live in a country where there is great wealth and great poverty. At a time when we have lots of possessions and material things to help our lives be easier. And so are we even at more risk that our greed and reliance on possessions will take us away from relying on God? How materialistic are we? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? Perhaps we don't think of ourselves as materialistic. But do we covet what we don't have? The latest smartphone, a flash car, a bigger house, more technology to make our lives easier, or perhaps even great Auntie Mildred's painting, said to be an original Rembrandt. As we can see from this passage, when someone dies, it can bring out the worst in people. We've probably all heard stories of families falling out because someone has got more than their fair share of an inheritance. But this passage is more than just about what happens when somebody dies and we inherit. It challenges us to think about our possessions and the wealth we have today. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that we have to give everything we own away, although we do know Jesus does say that to some people. When he called the first disciples, they left everything to follow him. But what Jesus goes on to show us in this passage is that it's not that having wealth and possessions that's wrong, but it's what we do with them that's important. The parable of the rich fool is a challenging story. When I first read it, on the surface, it looks like the man is making sensible, right decisions. But as we explore further, we will see that actually he was choosing poorly. The rich man had a bumper crop of harvest and didn't know what to do with it. He didn't have enough space to store it all. Now, as a farmer, that was probably a welcome, difficult decision to have. For once, he knew he'd have more than enough to live on, but only if he made sensible decisions as to what to do with this bumper crop. So he thought he would tear down his small barns and build bigger ones. Now, you must agree, in practical terms, that doesn't seem like a bad idea. He'd had a good harvest, nothing wrong with that. He'd tended his crop. He was being sensible in building bigger barns to store the grain in, rather than leave it out to be destroyed by the weather or eaten by animals. So why is Jesus saying this was not the right thing? The clue is in the next verse. The rich man thinks, "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." It was all about him. He has plenty of grain, and so his life would be easy. In the original Greek, this parable is 54 words long. And 18 of those are selfish words. Things like I, me, my. God was nowhere in this rich man's thoughts. He just thought to himself, well, I've done well for myself, so I can just sit back and relax now. He didn't think that maybe his neighbours may be in need, that there were others who he could help as a result of his good fortune. He thought he was being sensible, but in fact, he was being foolish. Now, for a moment, I want you to imagine you have come into some money, and I mean big money. A very wealthy, very long-distant relative has died and left you, say, £20 million. What would you do with that money? Just think about it for a moment. Think of the top five things you would spend it on. What are they? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or tell anybody. But be honest with yourself. What is on your top five list? Something like, I'd buy an Aston Martin, I'd go on a world cruise. Perhaps something more practical, like I'll pay off the mortgage, or even more generous, I'll buy the kids houses or get them through university. Did God feature at all? I'd give money to St. Pat's, the Centre Forward Project. Perhaps something to our mission partners or other Christian charities. Now, when I first was thinking about this, I did think about the Centre Forward Project, but I must admit, it wasn't my first thought. If giving your money to God was your first thought, I congratulate you. But I suspect many of you, like me, might not have put God first. It's not easy, is it? We think we are being good, sharing our imaginary good fortune with friends and family. But we don't look any wider. We don't look how we can give glory to God through the wealth he has given us. Just like the rich man, we think we're being sensible, but just like him, we choose poorly. Jesus goes on with his parable in verses 20 and 21. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get whatever you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. You fool. Ironically, the man who took such great care to prepare for his own earthly practical needs turns out to be a complete fool. Instead of fulfilling his moral responsibility to care for the needs of others, he is rebuked for laying up his treasure for himself and not being rich towards God, for not bringing God glory through what he did with his abundance of crops. Jesus is pointing out that if the rich man died that night, what would have happened to all that grain that he had stored for himself? No one would benefit from it, and he would be separated from God for eternity. He has made a poor choice indeed. Jesus is warning us not to be greedy and store up things for ourselves. He is saying there is more to life than the abundance of stuff we all have. If we look beyond our passage into the later verses in chapter 12, we see that Jesus goes on to tell the disciples not to worry. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Jesus is explaining further that there is much more to life than the material possessions we own. He says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. The challenge for us is, do we trust God to provide for us so much that we give freely to others to help them and bring him glory? Or do we store up our material possessions so that we rely on ourselves and our own good fortune rather than rely and trust in God? The passage isn't telling us that we can't have wealth, but Jesus is clearly warning those listening, and that includes us today, about the dangerous eternal implications of wealth. He's warning us of its seductive tendency towards complacency and self-sufficiency. Though the rich fool anticipates years of ease with his barns full of grain, it would be a time to kick back and relax, a time to eat, drink, and be merry. What is actually waiting for him, if he lives that life, is an eternal destiny set apart from God. As Jesus' condemning words confirm, this night your life is demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? If the rich man dies that night, he'll be separated from his material possessions and also from God. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 21 also help us understand this more. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How we live, what we do with our material possessions, can either separate us from God or bring him closer to us. Where our treasure is shows us where our heart is. Do we care more for the things that we have today, the things that help us live more easily, the money in our bank accounts that enable us to eat, drink, and be merry? But those things are only here for a moment, only here whilst we are here on this earth. And whilst they may make things easier for us at the time, they can separate us from God if we make them our focus and not him. If we use our wealth to help those in need, to bring God glory, if we give cheerfully without worrying because we know God will provide everything we need, our wealth and material possessions will not separate us from God. We will not be foolish. It's not easy, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have possessions, but we do need to think about what we do with them. Do we rely on them, on our own strength? We've earned enough money. We're comfortable. We don't need God. We think we can survive on our own. But that's a foolish way of thinking because it takes us away from God. We forget that the money we have earned is God's because he's given us the gifts to enable us to earn those things and buy things with the money we've earned. And knowing that and choosing to follow Jesus should lead us to choose wisely. Choose not to focus on material things we own that take us away from God, but choose to use those things to bring God glory. Choose to be generous with what we have and choose to focus on God and rely on him for all we need. Let us pray. Father God, help us to choose wisely, to live lives where we are generous with what you have given us, our money, our possessions, and our time. Help us rely on you to provide for us, not to rely on our own strength. Help us to trust you when times are hard and we have little, knowing that you will give us all that we need. Amen.